The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the firing! Solo to pick it. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals you can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's top four. It's the Gabatoir Friday night. Spotting the preliminary final up for grabs. A very long winning streak in danger. How are you feeling, Andy?
Well, yeah, fortunately, I was able to cancel the many invites I had for exciting events in Melbourne on this Friday night, so I've managed to clear my diary. The more I think about this game, the more I don't know. Like, it's hard not to be irrationally confident when you've beaten a team 17 games in a row, when you gave them by far their worst flogging this year, when you beat them last year in a final as well. I can't help coming back to the point, they're actually a fairly good football team.
Yeah, they're a really good football team. They win the ball, they keep the ball, they stop the other team from getting the ball. They get it inside forward 50 a lot. The kicking for goal, which, as we know, isn't always there, but they're a really good football team. They deserve to be there.
Yeah, someone whose football knowledge I really respect described them as by far the worst of the top five teams and in the top five, so to speak, and they're in the top five this year. Yeah, and I looked through the numbers with that filter, and I couldn't find the evidence. Like, actually, they've been very solid. They played some cream puffs in the last bit of the season, but they beat two finals teams without Harris Andrews. Like, they, and they've been solid all year. They've had plenty of big wins, and the only sort of game where they've really been embarrassed was their game against us. And you sort of mentioned goal kicking. It was a funny game. Like, I've sort of rewatched key moments of it, and we won by 40 points, so obviously we deserve to win. But the second quarter where we really moved on them, it was just a late burst after they had won the inside 50s for the quarter as a whole, and they missed a few shots. So it was a funny game. Like, I'm not contesting the result, I couldn't find that. They don't have any of the characteristics of a team that's lucky to be top four. They look very solid in their overall result.
No, they have
three legit All-Australians. They did.
Yeah, they're a very good team.
Probably should have 4, actually.
Oh, look, coulda, shoulda, woulda. We had one and weren't premiership favourites. The
I reckon their next one probably had as good a case as our one who missed out. Mm. So yeah, fair enough.
So yeah, the unexpected goal kicking around 10 when we played them, we should have won by 15 points. The qualifying final last year should have been a 7-point win. So that they are much closer games if they'd kick straight. Of course, kicking straight, they are one of the worst kicking for goal teams in the AFL, and that's partly their style of play. They take a lot of relatively low percentage shots from, you know, they're very good at form, like us, like forming a wall. They generate a lot of intercept possessions, number one for intercept differential ahead of us. So they're good at locking the ball in, but you get that situation that we've seen in our games, lots of people in forward 50, so you're taking long shots over the top from 50 plus metres. So yeah, it's obviously they don't always kick 4 goals 17, but it is they're a below average kicking for goal team, and it's one, and it's partly their style. But look, it's one of the few weak points of what's a very good team.
Yeah, and look, we're going to turn the corner on the pessimism in a second. You know, we're still quietly confident by our standards. Mm. But, you know, it's the other thing is, like sort of my, you know, my pet hobby horse of the late season is Tom Lynch is incredibly good and important to our structure.
Mm. Yes.
And if you rewatch that, the last Brisbane game, Tom Lynch is the one being involved in all the important plays that sort of set up early in the game. He doesn't have a great game overall, but sort of when the game's a contest, he's the one creating the crucial contest, kicking goals, getting out the back, setting other people up. So it's a huge out. And Harris Andrews is legit the best fullback in the AFL. So it's if he's back and we lose Lynch, well we have lost Lynch. Mm. That's a big, huge structural loss to us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, all of the three tall backs for Brisbane, Andrews, you mentioned, Ryan Lester, Darcy Gardner, they're all pretty good intercept players, and nullifying that's going to be a big job. And yeah, frankly, Chole has to do that better than he did against the Crows. Andy, I wanted to talk about the midfield, because I think, you know, like a lot of games, it's going to be decided there. This is an absolutely tip-top matchup. There is class and quality everywhere on both sides.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, they are. We have the premierships. They have the sort of the modern statistical, the 2020 statistical dominators.
Mm. Yeah. So Lachie Neale, first in the AFL for disposals a game. Jared Lyons and Dwayne Zorko, that both top 20 in the AFL.
Yeah. Advanced Metrics love Jared Lyon for a guy who's a retread. It's really noticeable.
And Dwayne Zorko as well. Like, he's top 20 in the AFL in kicks, score involvements, and tackles inside 50. That's another, tackles inside 50 is another thing they do really well. Like, I don't think we've quite seen the best of that pressure when we've played them. Although, you know, there's been periods when we've struggled to clear the ball, but yeah, they're good. They're very good at locking the ball in their attacking half of the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And McLeish, of course, is all Australian.
And there's very much a compliment between, you know, Neale, Lyons, Zorko, all winning a lot of ball, Jared Berry and Mitch Robinson, who are very much the big-bodied grunt players, and McCluggage. McCluggage is a sort of your Andrew Gaff, if not a better kick, sort of Rolls Royce outside midfielder. Like, yeah, it's a good combination.
Yeah, what a shame we can't see the Mitch Robinson Tom Lynch rematch, because that would be interesting. Probably turned out badly for Mitch, but yeah, we're denied of that till grand final day, if at all. And our midfield, on the other hand, is in a really interesting spot because the cavalry are arriving over the hill just in time. But, you know, we don't know how the cavalry are going to merge, the fresh cavalry are going to merge with our existing cavalry.
Yeah. Look, I think...
I could have done better with that analogy. Yes. Because generally the cavalry helps people, cowboys who have been fighting on foot. Like, and that's the cavalry are noticeable because they're... Anyway, sorry.
I think that anecdote has died. Look, if Dion Prestia plays three quarters as well as Shane Edwards did last week, I think we're going to win. Like,
yeah, that's a nice summary, yeah.
For all the thousands of words of analysis... both preceding and following, I think if you know they've got a lot of quality, but you know we've got Dusty, Cochin, Edwards, Bolton's coming back in the team as well, Prestia as well. I just think it just evens out a potential deficit in ball winning, and I think. Yeah, I mean, who knows? He hasn't played in months, and you know it's appropriate to have a certain degree of skepticism while also having some faith in the training staff that they've made the call early with Tom Lynch. They're not taking any risks there. Shane Edwards has come back, cherry ripe. Dave Asprey's come back, looking really good. You know, there's every reason to have faith, but. Yeah, it's a big assignment.
Yeah, so Dimmel was very reassuring on this. You know, one of his many admirable qualities is his relative level of honesty when discussing players. And he said that, yeah, with the shortened quarters, Prestia has been in the system 10 years. Like, he was very confident in that Prestia being fit enough and up to the speed. And, you know, we'll see how he goes, but sort of, I was worried about Shedder as well running out of puff, and he certainly did not against Adelaide. And so already, because I've been a little bit worried about Cochin, but you know, already Prestia comes in. So the question is good. Sort of a friend of the podcast posed this to us: who's your ideal have to win a stoppage to win the game? Obviously, Shane Edwards comes in, Nanks the Ruckman. With no apologies to Chol, who's your next two players? Is Dusty in your best four?
I think so. I think if you really, really have to do it, he's a good option. It's tricky. Look, Shane Edwards has great stats. Prestia has great stats. How can you leave out Cochin? Dusty's great as well. Maybe you go Cochin, Prestia, Edwards in the hope that they kick the ball to Dusty, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'd almost be at the point where... you have to wait. Unfortunately, it's one of these many stats that we don't see till the end of the year. I've just seen a few people variously, a few friends have variously seen the more detailed champion data stats, and I'm once again regretting. There are other sports where you can buy this advanced metrics for the public can, but we can't. But anyway, I'd like to see the stoppage win because maybe I'm just influenced by the 70-metre goal I just watched Alton kick against Brisbane from the centre, but... I'm not entirely sure as an attacking mid that Bolton's now not better than Dusty. In the centre square, purely in the centre square. I think Prestia is just so strong defensively. You know, he's always the one who's stepping up at the back of the contest. You think about Prestia and Edwards as your 1-2, and then whether you go Cochin or Bolton. The problem is with if you've got Edwards, Prestia and Cochin, you've got three players who are in some ways quite similar in their style. But yeah,
well, they all win the ball a lot.
Yeah, but you don't have the sort of the most attacking mid. I guess it's, are you trying to win the clearance or are you trying to kick a goal from the clearance, which is one of the points you're making about having Dusty Ford. If you're just trying to win the clearance, then you go Cochin, Edwards, Prestia.
Look,
it's highly theoretical.
It's highly theoretical. So in the rucks, McEnany sort of more their first ruck.
Yep.
These days, they play with two ruckmen on the ground. Well, the round 18 game, they played Stephen Martin as the backup ruck, and about a third of the time they had two ruckmen on the ground. So yeah, that's certainly. Look, McEnany's good. He played well against us. I thought he beat Soldo last time, and he's a tricky matchup for Nank because he's about 5 centimeters taller. But he's not super physical, and I think there's definitely a chance for Nank to work him over through the course of the game, as he did with O'Brien last week.
Yeah, McEnany was their second rated player last time we played them. Interestingly, Chol had 9 hitouts. Chol played in the corresponding regular season game.
He played reasonably well.
Yeah, so a little bit of hope there that he might be a bit more competent in the ruck. And just by reading the Dimmer team leaves, he seems like he's going to play. Dimmer was saying that he was much better in the second half last week. Yeah, he kicked a goal. He just seems sort of quite supportive of Chol and his language. And I think he won't want to have just the way he's talked about having support in the finals and having backup, that I don't think he'll want to play without. But if what happens if Nat goes down? Like, it was fine to play like that in 2017, because let's face it, the 2017 team needed to gamble everything to win. I think the 2020 team's is a bit different, and you might maybe not have to gamble as much and have a few more reserve options. So it makes complete sense to me that we keep Chol for that reason. Nico, Chol's been such an issue of discussion and
consternation.
I rack my brain. Is that sometimes think, because remember that preseason game years ago where he shirked a few contests, and I've sort of, it's like one of those things, he's always had original sin for me. So I did actually go look at his numbers to see if I could see something more positive out of it. And Nick, you know, in every major category of statistic, even when adjusting for the slightly shorter games, he's slightly regressed in all the key out numbers. From his 2019 season, where he played basically the same amount of games. You can't help but be slightly disappointed that he hasn't really evolved as a player from 2019.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, we're talking 6 disposals a game. You have to round up to get 6.
I know. He's a pretty great kick for goal. That remains and I think...
Yeah, he's 8-3. He's 8-3 this season. 9-5 the season before. 17-9 for his career.
Yeah, pretty good. So not even withstanding the loss of Lynch, I still think we have a more functional forward line. I think Brisbane's forward line, as we've seen when we've played them, it's not overwhelming. Hipwood is a below average key forward. He's really tall and athletic and frustrating if you're a Brisbane supporter. Charlie Cameron, top 10 in the AFL in goals, very talented, we know that. hasn't been able to get off the chain against us. But honestly, part of that is he has about the same number of shots at goal against us as he does against other teams. But, he's not kicking as well as he usually does, partly because those shots aren't as good. McStay, is their other key forward. He's a good contested mark. McEnany spins time down there as well. Speaking of players regressing, Cam Rayner for number one pick is going sideways fast.
I'm not sure regressing is quite the word. Regressing implies originally, he's actually been slightly better in the second half of the season, but it's off not very much.
Yeah, look, I expected more. Like that, he played well in that final against us last year, and he hasn't gone on with it. So Brendan Stasevich has been a pretty decent. He's a sort of big body mid forward for them. He's been decent in recent weeks. Like they're like us. They had about five players last time we played them who won't be in the team this week. Like it's a pretty thin injury list for them as it is for us. So it's going to be strength on strength. There's not a lot of weak links.
Yeah, I think so. I come back to the, you might recall, Nick, that Camden broke McCluggage's ankles in the Brisbane game and then ran too far.
yes.
And that's ultimately what gives me a lot of confidence is that our midfielders will put on enough pressure through the midfield to break them down. The Tom Lynch going out hurts us, but we've still got enough structure and enough pressure to get the job done in a high intensity game. By the way, there was also the question is potentially one particular George Mann fan of the podcast is Lynch out. Does that give a chance for Castagna to play better?
I think he does play better without Lynch.
Well, I checked, and actually, guess what his best season was by any reasonable measure of his output?
Last year?
Yep.
Hmm.
So, oh, there you go. Even his marks were up. Sort of this year, as pointed out, and you make a good point. You have to adjust for game time, but he's been averaging very consistently 26 or 27 goals a season for 3 years in a row, and this year he had 14. That's clearly been. Other than that, his game is relative. Other than his 2019 outlier, his season's been fairly consistent with the other ones.
Mm. So. Statistics, I think, are most convincing when they back up the eye test. And look, sometimes they tell you counterintuitive things and you go, I'll need to follow up at that point. But
yeah, the statistics never proved that Soldo was a top 10 ruckman in the AFL. But
Lies. So Dustin Martin doubles his career average for goals against the Brisbane Lions. That doesn't surprise me at all.
No. You know what Dusty is also very good at?
Winning Norm Smiths?
Yes. Well, it pretty much, I was going to say finals. Nick, there are a few narratives, and I hope it continues, is that there are a few narratives that I enjoy more than the current one that Dusty these days bides his time for the big, he's at 7.5 out of 10 for regular season games. But when the lights are brightest, that's when Dusty puts the brick on the pedal and starts to take things seriously.
I don't know. I don't know. Take things seriously is quite the, but I don't think he's scared of the big occasion. Like
Yep. You've got enough evidence that Dusty's...
I know. Yes. It's right out on a limb. But, the big stands full of people and all the attention and the pressure, Now, I think it's water off a duck's back.
I think, Nick, I'm prepared to now admit that it was the right thing to re-sign Dustin in 2017 and not just take the end of first-round compensatory pick we would have got when he signed with North.
Wow, yeah. We've got all the big calls. I think if you balance up, I have more faith in our system to get things done against Brisbane than they've shown against us before. They're a very good team. They could well win. You know, the betting line is 3.5 points, which is
very close.
The ball going one side of the post rather than the other. But yeah, the one thing I looked at, you know, when we finally broke through against Geelong and we hadn't beaten Geelong forever, the previous four games we'd played against them, the biggest losing margin was 14 points. We'd just been pushing and pushing, and they just squeaked home a number of times before things finally broke our way. And it's not really the same, you know, they're poor goal kicking aside. We haven't had any really close losses against them. So it isn't, from that perspective, it isn't, while on paper, they're certainly a good enough team to beat us and, you know, have a fantastic midfield, you know, good defence, diligent attack. But there's not evidence that their system is overwhelms ours to this point.
No. I think that's a very, very nice way to sum it up. And just the final thing I'll say is that one thing, I mean, Dimmer says it all the time when he's, sorry, not all the time, but he's said it noticeably enough that this is not a knockout final. Like, we are clearly planning for a whole final series. That's why Lynch is not playing. Dimmer's heavily implied that Lynch thought he was right to go, but they, I'd be willing to bet if Friday night was the grand final that Lynch would be playing.
Yeah.
I'd bet a lot of money on that. But yeah, it's the final series. It's at least two games, and it's probably at least three. Hopefully four. Well,
yeah. With Lynch, we know with Cochin. I mean, literally this afternoon, Lise Perry broke down with a hamstring coming back from a severe hamstring injury, and she re-aggravated it, so she's out for another month. Like, I think if being a bit cautious reduces that risks, and yeah, because we can, whatever happens this week, we fight another day, and yeah, we'll be better off if Tom Lynch is there than not.
Absolutely. Anyway, exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to be a wreck by Friday. Just a wreck.
Yeah. And we need to do it for Anthony Allsopp.
the revenge.
Yes, indeed. So there's been a bit of off-field news.
Well, before we finish on the game, so I think Lynch not being available makes a selection question simpler, but assuming Prestia and Bolton come back, who goes out?
Well, I think Ross is basically a Monty to miss out, isn't he? Sadly,
yeah.
You know, I like him, but you know, statistically, there's no case to keep him in the midfield. And Jack Graham, who we'll discuss for a second, has been just killing it. And so then. Yeah, it seems like Caddy may be fit the way they're talking. So he may keep his spot.
Does he? Like I think,
who do you bring in?
Well, if Bolton comes in for
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Yeah, no, Bolton for Caddy. Yes, so that's the two natural things. Sorry, I forgot my earlier selection when we needed to make way for Lynch, and I forgot Joel's for Lynch. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yes.
The other two possibilities, I think, are Pickett and Camden McIntosh, who when you break them down statistically, they're essentially the same player. Like they each have some relatively strengths and weaknesses, but the sum total on their advanced ratings pretty much the same, right? And you know they're both first and foremost in our hearts, so it's an extremely difficult decision to choose between the two. But what I come back to is sort of establish continuity in a team that's playing really well, and that makes for a really Josh Caddy. Has done nothing to deserve being dropped based on his game last time. You know, courageous effort, kicked two good goals. But,
it's a really difficult one because Caddy and Bolton are completely different players, and Caddy actually gives us a legitimate marking target, which, you know, Bolton, for his strengths, does not. But I just think Pickett and K-Mac and Caps are just so incredibly important to our defensive setup and our ability to cover space and cover the sort of play deep for defence and team defence and cover the fat side, because they're both really hard athletic runners who get up the field and eat space. So I find it very hard to believe that either of those guys will get dropped. Also, Pickett had plus 50 pressure acts. Yeah. Last week, so I think just based on why they've kept, just based on what's been sufficient for Pickett to be dropped in the past, I think Pickett's well above that median line.
I know, but it feels like an impossible decision to choose between them. Like nobody deserves to be dropped.
No, I would drop Caddy though for the fact that he's been injured so many times late in the year, which is unfair. But yeah,
it's unfair. Yeah, very much so. They said, you know, we haven't talked at all about the scratch match, but like, apparently Riley Collard-Yorkin's best on ground for third week in a row. He's, you know, he might be an emergency for the 11th time or whatever it is, but you know, there's just no. There's no spots on the team at the moment. It's such a, no. it's a hard team to get into.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of generally plays through the centre in those games. So there's just there's no path to him being in the team.
No. So you mentioned before about off-season news. It is, and I still haven't got used to. You know, if we were an Essendon supporter, we'd be clicking refresh on Big Footy or whatever other your trashy source of rumours is. But you know, the off season is in full swing already, and we've our focus is deservedly on winning finals and premierships. Yeah, there's been quite a bit of news in the past week.
Yeah, poor old journalists having to write these stories because they get so many clicks, essentially made up trade rumours. And agent Dorodo has come up with an early good one, that Hooley could go back to Essendon.
Wow. Look, if they're willing to give 32-year-old Basher Hooley a 2-year contract, good luck to them, I reckon. Like, that is,
yeah, more power to them.
Yeah, that would be quite something. And maybe you do it as a soft cap, evading type of deal that as Hawthorn are doing with Burgoyne and the Giants are doing with Mumford. But yeah, that'd be a lot. Like, it seems. Well, it seems pretty speculative. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about bringing in leadership to a club that's got dysfunctional. You know, it's how Fremantle partly justified Conker, but you know, but there's no one standing that Hawley is an incredible leader of his community, and he's a role model. And when I say his community, our community of the Bashir Hawley is an absolute icon of Victorian and Australian sport, and we're at Richmond and lucky to have him. But he's also never been in the leadership group, and you know, Michael Voss and Jeremy Brownie were the greatest leaders. That Brisbane team were fantastically led, and when their bodies went, they were useless as leaders because you still have to be able to play. So you can't get past the play. You're playing a 32-year-old outside halfback flank, who statistically is probably the least desirable of the current Richmond small backs. In fact,
yeah, that's, he was second. True. Look, he was second best on ground again. In a grand final by the coaches' votes last year.
And he got an All-Australian as a Lifetime Achievement Award last year as well. I'm not discounting of that. I'm not.
And look, the other thing in favour of it for me is, you know, when we brought David Cloke back, Anthony Bennick talked about the example he gave at training about always when they were asked to do a lap of the oval, Cloke would always run on the outside of the oval. Similarly for when we brought Ben Cousins in, you know, Ben Cousins off field was a disaster, but a number of our young players talked about just that sheer professionalism and that hard work that's required to be elite. So I can certainly understand why Essendon would be interested as part of lifting their standards.
If Essendon need that in 2020, they're in a lot of trouble. But yeah, look, good on Essendon for and we don't know the truth to it, but
it's a silly season rumor. One thing that is not a rumor is Jack Graham re-signing for 3 years.
Yeah, and like full credit to him, as we discussed before, I don't think he'd be the kind of person who's motivated by this, but it certainly did not help. He's playing the best footy of his career in the crucial moments in his free agency.
No, and look, I think he's a guy that's entirely possible that he'll end up back in South Australia at some point. But yeah, also strike me as a really loyal guy, and you know, other teams potentially offering 4 years, so we went to 3 years when we would have, you know, maybe started off offering a 2-year deal. So, I think this is just a really sensible outcome.
The year before when he comes out of contract, he's not an unrestricted free agent either. So that's it.
The other notable thing about it is that we've heard crickets on Nathan Broad re-signing, and I just think, you know, for those guys who aren't part of the best 22, if they've got a big deal from another club, I think it's really hard to keep those guys.
Yeah, especially since it's an argument he's two players away from the team, because you know, based on who was playing late in the season, Oleg was in front of him. It's a show. What do you think is a realistic trade receipt for Broad?
Late 20s, I think.
And you're mentally, no doubt, including the fact that it's a compromise draft this year.
Yes. So that would be Gold Coast's second round draft pick is likely to be in the late 20s.
Yep, fair enough. That'd be excellent business for how much we originally paid for.
Yep. One of the many things that we love on this podcast is members of the Rioli family, and Sarah Black did an article this week on yet another member of that family. Morris Rioli Jr. is eligible for the draft this year, his younger sister, who's only 1 centimetre shorter than him at age 15, is a very different prospect as well. And that, yep, that's pretty life-affirming.
Yeah, it is. As we've discussed before, can you imagine how awkward it would be for the Rioli at family Christmas who decided to be an accountant or, you know, sort of like, you know.
Yeah. Just wasn't into football.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just the family's ridiculous in the amount of quality footballers it produces.
Yeah. So she's not draft eligible till 2023, but already this season she went from playing under 15s to playing under 18s, which is that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. Certainly interesting. Interesting prospect.
Yep. And speaking of Sarah Black, she's also doing some FLW draft profiles. And yes, I've got very fond of Ellie McKenzie, who's pretty strong, explosive inside-outside midfielder who can kick the ball long. And, yeah, she's a very good candidate to be the first pick, apparently. And, yeah, it's hard. Oh, look, I've completely got out of the habit of, researching the very top prospects in the men's draft, but she's a pretty elite prospect.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully looking forward to seeing her play next year in the yellow and black.
Mm.
And when I say hopefully, I mean live in front of people, in front of a crowd, because it's about time government start making hard decisions on that. Well, not just it. Hopefully there'll be time to do it in January. It's a bit early now.
Yeah, so
Yannick.
AFLW drafts in about a week and a bit. So yeah, it's going to be, look, regardless of what happens against Brisbane, we're going to be focused on other things. But yeah, that'll be there for us to pick up when we've gone through either the triumph and the trauma of the final series.
Yeah, keen to get some Monique Conti some real support in the midfield and West people, players who are famous for being famous. Now, Nick, I want to talk about something completely different.
Yeah.
I just want to pour a 40 on the block for Anthony Miles.
And Corey Ellis.
Yes. As I said, I want to pour a 40 on the block for Anthony Miles. I just wanted to go down memory lane a bit on his career. We've done it before, and we interviewed him once on the show, so obviously he's been a favourite. Yeah. And he actually did a bit on the Suns. He did play 17 games last year, had averaged over 20 disposals. But, Nick, gee, when he came to Tigerland in 2014, gee, he hit with a bang. When he played the last half of the year, he averaged 24 disposals a game, kicked plenty of goals in the big game. And, you know, the sort of 2014, of course, was the year where we're a bit in trouble, and you know, Dimmer potentially was in trouble if we sort of fell to an awful result, and then we just went on the tear at the end of the year. And the sort of, we had a debate at the time whether Anthony Miles saved Dimmer's job. Probably not. I think we concluded at the time. I would have loved to have sort of tried to stand behind that as a hot take, but he had some big games and some sort of pretty tight contests, including having 25 disposals and one goal in the Swans game at the end of the year. I think Dimmer's job was safe by then. I think once we'd sort of won a few games in the middle of the year, but he was a big part. He played some plenty of good games. For instance, in round 17 where we beat Port, he had 28 touches. Very important player. And then was after a sort of exploding in 2014, was very solid, played every game in the 2015 season, and was solid again in 16, but it was a losing team, so it sort of wasn't as exciting. But Yeah, wonderful career. Didn't get to 100 games, got to 83, I believe. But yeah, as a Richmond Tiger Talk favourite, and 88 games, sorry. I finished his career with a 22 possession disposal average, which is pretty high for a guy who was undrafted.
Yeah. Look, you can't say that Anthony Miles, three different clubs, he didn't get the most out of his talent.
You can't say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You just can't have anything but enormous respect for him as a footballer. Like, you maximize what you've got, and I think he's exactly the kind of guy that you'd want to play with in big games. So, maybe sadly he wasn't quite good enough to be part of a premiership team, but he was a part of the journey that got us there.
I've heard I don't know if it's public, but he may be playing in the Ovens and Murray League.
Nice.
This year. Sorry, next year. So hopefully I'm not ruling out going to watch the Tigers or whoever it is. And I wouldn't bet against Anthony Miles if the team's good enough to afford to pay him. And obviously he's from that part of the world. Wouldn't put it past Anthony to be premiership captain next year.
No. And assuming that from having played for both the Richmond and the Suns, he's going to be barracking for Brisbane to lose on Friday night.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Great. A lot of fun in what was a fun couple of seasons for Richmond.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, it's first week of the finals. We're a top four team. It's all there for us. I'm pretty excited.
I'm very excited.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! What a fire! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your arse!
Oh, she is. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, it's all too much for Leon.
Oh, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy. Started with him.
Yep.
Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
From Tigerland, we never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.